That was Ellen and the Degenerates. This is Tuke Edelo. This is Radio Free Brooklyn. You're listening to What Would Save the World. I am here today with Allison Klemp and Joanna Briley because we're going to be talking about the Cinderblock Comedy Festival that's happening in Williamsburg this month between September 14th and September 18th. And it's a comedy festival that's run mostly by women. And I think that's really groovy. So I decided to have them on here. And I'm also helping with that. So I want to say that Radio Free Brooklyn is a community-run, horizontally organized radio station. So if you like us and you think that's really cool, you can donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/Radio Free Brooklyn. And you should do that if you like people getting on the air and getting to talk about their different things and their different opinions. So so Allison Klemp, I want to hear from you. How did you get into comedy?
Hi. Well, I started in theater and then... You know, we all did improv in college, and then that sort of just eventually led to doing stand-up.
Cool. What about you, Joanna?
Well, you know, as a kid, you always hear that, you're so funny, you know? And this guy I dated, I used to drag him to every comedy club. And he was like, you know, you could do that. And I was like, really? And one day he came to my apartment, and he had the Learning Annex in his hand. And it was a workshop on how to write stand-up. And I took the course, and... I've been doing stand-up ever since. That was like 1996. I'm dating myself, but wow. Yeah, that's how I got into it. Yeah.
But you broke up with that guy.
Oh, yeah. He broke up with me because I started realizing what love is. And he was like, oh, my gosh, she gets it. And then he was like, I'm out. Yeah, he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready for this kind of love, you know. Mm-hmm.
Maybe he got a little too much.
Yeah, and then, you know, he's in a coma right now. So please send out prayers to him.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was, like, devastated to hear that. And I had his fiance. I would send her jokes and video. And the two videos I sent you and had her play them, I said, you know, because she don't want me to come see him. Yeah. Well,
she's scared you're going to tell him a joke and he's going to wake up from his coma.
Yeah.
And then be like, it was always you, Joanna.
You know, that's the story of, like, as a woman, you want that romance. Like, I love you. I'm going to wake up out of the coma and I'm going to marry you.
Oh, I don't know if I want that. I don't know, but I run into this very often where I am the woman who's like, you know what? I would love to date you, but I also want to date your friend.
Wow.
I want your friend to be okay with it. I want you guys to be friends, and I'll be friends with your other girlfriend, and we can all live in a house together.
How did you get to that point?
I mean, there are communities where you could do that.
I know.
Oh, I've lived there.
Okay, we got to talk about that.
Okay, let's go there first. And then
I'm so how do you separate the emotional part to not want to just be monogamous?
Oh, it's so emotional. There's so many emotions. Okay, so we'll get into this a little bit, but we'll go back. So, you know, there's like jealousy where you look at your partner or somebody else and you want to bite their head off.
Yeah.
Then there's this thing called compersion where compersion. It means it's like the opposite of jealousy. It means you can experience like happiness and joy for your partner being with somebody else. Like, here's an example. So I did used to live on this commune. So you're like, there are communities like that. I'm like, yeah, I know. I live there. I used to listen to my ex fuck people in the other room. But that's weird. When it's your ex, it's not as much fun.
Right.
That can be a little weird. But I was staying in somebody's room who was on vacation because, you know, people stay in the people's rooms. And so I was staying there with one of my partners, and I saw love notes that one of my partners had written to this other person who they're with. And I was like, oh, it's so cute. I'm going to have to leave a note about how happy that made me. So I did. I wrote a little note that was like, I love you both, and I feel so much compersion for you. But it's the hippiest bullshit ever. But it's real. You can, if you...
You got to channel it. You have to be of a different mindset, I guess, or open.
Definitely.
I feel that way in my position right now. I've been celibate over 10 years.
Whoa.
And so people don't understand it to the degree like, oh, something wrong with you. No, I'm in love and I got love within me, but it's not necessarily the sexual type. Like, I don't need to be sexual to feel love and feel connected to someone. And but I don't know about that compersion shit though. I don't know if I can go there yet because I choose not to be with anyone at this moment. I date. I've been on a date, and you know they just don't do anything for me right now.
Hey, it's all, and that's what radical relationships are though. It's whatever works for you.
Yeah.
Like I have people that I will only cuddle with, and that's all I want from them. And I have varying levels of intimacy.
Right. That's the word. Varying levels of intimacy.
I mean, everybody's brain chemistry is so different that it's really like it's just about knowing yourself and knowing what works for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like knowing that, like, oh, I can never live like that, or, you know, whether it's I can never be monogamous or I can never be polygamous. Like,
I like the word compersion because sometimes I think I feel that. Like, I know I could be happy for someone else.
I mean,
Sorry,
I didn't mean to interrupt you. What were you saying?
No, about, you know, if you see someone that you like or whatever, because, you know, you like a lot of people. And if you see someone that you like and they don't like you, they like somebody else, oh, well, you need to be happy for that person. Because just because they're not happy with you or want to be with you doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. They're just not for you.
And you can totally experience it non-romantically. Like, you can have friends. You can see they have a really great relationship.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, I'm so glad they have that thing in common.
Yes.
I'm glad they scrapbook together on Sundays.
Or write jokes together, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, whatever it is. I don't know. I enjoy other people's relationships. And it's definitely something I had to train my brain to be able to do because I used to feel such intense jealousy, like terrible, terrible jealousy. And that I'd always felt like wrong in my body. Like my body would be like aching and it's like, let go. Let go of it. And then I finally did. And I was just like, whoa, somebody that I love is dating a friend that I love and they're beautiful. Hippie bullshit. You know, it's bullshit. But,
no, it's not.
But it's real. I mean, I'd love to call it hippie.
Oh, okay.
But,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. Unless we want to talk about this a little more, I could talk about this all day.
I want to come back and talk about sexual revolution, the new kind.
Oh, yeah. We could talk about polyamory all day long. I know many styles, but we could get back into the comedy a little bit. So how long have you been doing comedy, Allison?
I've been doing stand-up for about 5 years-ish.
Cool.
I don't know. I think that's right. I'm not good with time.
Cool. So I want to hear about like where you each draw from in your comedy, like what inspires you to do comedy.
For me, my experience is whatever I see in front of me. I can make up a scenario, or I've been involved in a scenario recently where I'm out on a date, or I just met somebody at a bar and I'm with a girlfriend, right? And something transpired with this girlfriend. And the guy didn't come. The guy that we just met doesn't know her, but she felt he was supposed to come and, like, save her or rescue her or defend her in this situation.
From you?
No, from this other situation.
Oh. Okay.
That we had he and I are conversing. We had no idea what was going on with her, but because it went down, he knew the guy that she had the incident with. Right? So just say they had a squabble.
Oh, okay.
She and his friend had a squabble. So my friend and I, no idea what's going on. So when he saw his friend leaving, he go, hey, man, what you leaving? See, that's what's wrong with you brothers. You always go to the rescue of the men. And we was like, well, what happened? You know, so in that instance, I just took it as she cock-blocked. Like, you know, she just cock-blocked me. So now, because she's my friend, I can't go out with this guy again because he didn't come to her rescue. You know what I mean? Like, you draw the line as a friend, but I made a joke about it because I don't really like the guy, but just I made a joke about the fact that sometimes friends are in your life to cock block.
I have a roommate who's like that.
Yeah. They just cock block and they don't even realize they cock blocking, or they do know they're cock blocking. Like, I mean, girl, you know I ain't had none, so could you help me out? Like,
I'm like on the bed, like with my door open, like with the guy with our arms on each other. And she comes, she's like, you want to hang out? And I'm like, maybe later. And she's like, all right, like if you want to come, I'm making food. And the guy's like, food?
Oh.
And I'm like, no, maybe later. I'm looking at him like, later. Look at my mouth. It's going to be on your dick. Like, let's eat food later. And then I'm like, and she goes, oh. It's ridiculous.
Sometimes cock blocks are a good thing, though. Like, there are cock blocks from hell, and there are cock blocks from heaven. Like, one time I had a guy friend who was like, oh, like, he came over to, like, hang out. And, like, I had never gotten, like, a sexual vibe from this dude, like, at all. And then, like, all of a sudden, we're watching John Wick of all movies. Like, not a sexy movie by any standards. And then, like, my friend just started, like, rubbing my feet and, like, giving me a foot massage, which on the one hand I'm like, yes, I'm always grateful for a foot massage, but on the other hand I'm like, is this just a foot massage? Like, what is
what's
happening?
Gonna lead to?
So I like texted my roommate who was in his room and I was like, hey, can you come out here and just run some interference?
Wow. Well, that's cool. That's good that you have that. Like, right now, I'm receptive, okay? It's 10 years, okay? I'm receptive to whatever dick I might get. You know what I'm saying? I just got to feel it out. You know what I'm saying? But just don't block me and don't even give me opportunity to explore it, you know? And so that's
rude.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. I haven't talked to her about
it. Fewer cock blocks, more cock gateways.
Yes, there you go. Open, and nobody, listen, I've done my stand-up in Broadway Comedy Club, and, like, usually I end my set with, how many of you guys could hook me up? Because y'all know my story. Like, all of you come to the show. Y'all know I'm single. Hook a sister up. So for 5 years, I said that. No one ever hooked me up.
That's messed up. Well, they probably think you're kidding.
Okay, so, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, they think I'm kidding, and I wasn't. Like, I had cards and everything, you know, and I was like, come on, guys, I'm dead serious. So now it's like, okay, it's a running joke, but it's not funny.
I mean, that is something that is somebody, I'm very sexually open, and being sexually open scares a lot of dudes off.
Oh.
I don't know what that is. It's like, oh, you like sex? Ah. Like, I don't know what's up with that, because I was told that was really, I thought that was really sexy, that I knew myself and knew that I liked sex and what I liked and what I didn't like, but apparently it takes extra special ones.
Yeah. Well, they're all little precious babies, you know, and it's like, oh, you do this. Because it's like they can't, so, not all guys, hashtag not all men, but most men, hashtag most men, are so intimidated by a woman who is sexually in tune with what she wants and, like, confident and all that stuff. And I've noticed it in stand-up even, because when I've tried to do bits about, like, being sex positive and, like, being, like, loving sex and, you know, whatever, I just, like, watch all these dudes just shut down with fear in their eyes. And it's like, okay.
She doesn't need me.
Yeah.
She could do it to herself.
I can't validate her. I have no purpose.
There you go. That's the key word, validation.
Whatever happened to me?
Yeah.
How will I make her feel bad about herself to convince her that she needs me?
Oh.
You know, and that's kind of interesting, because whenever I did my stand-up, I left. So I really didn't have a social connection with a lot of comedians, because I've worked nights for the MTA, so I would leave. So I don't know, like, a lot of history of people and their relationships with other people. So now with social media and the groups and stuff that we're in, I'm finding out information about comedians and stuff like that. Nothing, not too negative, but just like, oh, I didn't know that about that person, and oh, I didn't know this about this. You know, it's kind of weird that I'm getting a bird's eye view of people that I've never probably would have socialized with. So I thank social media for that. But I am not a person that really socialized. So this right here, the Cinder Block Festival, and involving myself, that was my way of coming out of my shell and trying to immerse myself in the community so that, you know, I can share.
I definitely can relate to that, because I am a comedian of some kind. I'm not really a stand-up. Like, if somebody goes do a stand-up show, I'll come with a funny story that I have and it'll work. But, like, I'm very something else. I prefer to call myself a performance artist, because if I call myself a performance artist, I'm an asshole. So it's like, that's what I do. So I just found it. Like, somebody was talking about organizing an all-woman or mostly women comedy festival, and I was like, well, that sounds really cool. I'd be down to help with that. And I was really happy to connect with that part of the comedy world, because usually I'm over here, like, in Bushwick, or I actually live in Staten Island, but I'm usually with the seedier, like, weirder folks. And I ended up getting Matthew Silver on the festival.
Oh, okay.
That's sort of like the scene that I was in, and then mainstream.
Actually, he's on one of my shows.
Yeah, he is. He's in the Icons of Comedy.
Yes,
What's he gonna do?
I don't believe he got back in touch with me to do. Well, whoever he's doing is fine with me, but I tried to get everyone to send me who they were, who were their icons, so that I could put it on the flyer. Mm. So whoever's on the flyers, who got back in touch with me. So
I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up with some Andy Kaufman stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I would appreciate that too.
Well, he just kind of looks like him sometimes. Or people have been like, oh, Matthew Silver is like Andy Kaufman. I'm like, really? But okay.
Wow. Yeah. So we have, Eddie Izzard? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Eddie Izzard. Kelly Dunham is that's her icon.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Kelly and Carol Montgomery, she is Richard Pryor, that's her icon. And we have Wanda Sykes. We have Maria Bramford.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I chose Moms Mabley. So, you know, it's a very degreeing range of icons. And it wasn't, you know, however you feel about them, that's what I want on stage. I did this show in March during Women's History Month. And it was all female. and everyone chose someone. Someone chose Carol Burnett. Someone chose Phyllis Diller. And it was just, you know, these are people I grew up with, you know. So to watch them talk about them on stage, it was a beautiful show. And then I said, you know what, for the festival, this would be great. So people could see, not only you got the kings of comedy, the queens, we got the icons of comedy.
Mm-hmm. Who inspired people.
Yes. So that's going to be another faction of my business.
And that show is on Sunday, September 18th at Muchmore's.
I like the name of that spot.
Yeah.
Good spot. I like
it's
that.
It's at 2 Havemeyer Street, Havemeyer Street. It's from 7 to 8:30 p.m. if you want to see that.
Yes, I'm so excited to be a part of this festival. I remember when we were talking about it. You remember when we were talking about it a year ago?
Was it really a year ago?
Yeah, we started like August of last year.
I remember meeting up with Corey and being so overwhelmed. I walked into a room where I didn't know anyone there.
Really?
And at that time, I'd only had one experience where I'd been to like one straight up stand up open mic, and I had just the worst experience ever.
No.
Oh, it was just like the broiest shit I'd ever been to in my life. It was all just like, yeah, women are liars because vaginas, and some other guy did like a whole set about Bill Cosby, and in the end made some joke about how like, women getting raped isn't funny, but men getting raped is.
Wow.
And I had one too many beers, and I flipped out on the guy, and then his friend flipped out on me, and then it was just a disaster, and I'm like, I'm never coming to one of these things ever again.
Wow.
I'm terrified of stand-up.
I've never, ever paid. I mean, like I said, I got 20 years in the game, and I did open mics back in the day, and I never, I don't know if I just didn't pay attention or didn't care enough about the dudes to like really pay attention to whether they were being misogynistic or, you know what I mean, assholes per se. I just like, oh, they're just not funny. You know, so I'm just not going to laugh. You know what I mean?
But the entire room was laughing but me.
Okay.
And that's why I was horrified. So that was for a little while. I was like, is there something wrong with me?
So there's something wrong with all of us. So I had a weird experience because I started stand up in Colorado, and in Colorado, it was like everybody was really nice, and like I did well like every time I did it, and people, you know, the first time I did a mic, people came up to me and they were like, "Oh, you're really funny! Like I haven't seen you around before. Here, this is my name. Here's my card. Like hit me up," you know. And I was like, cool. And then I went to San Francisco to visit my brother, and I did some stand-up there, and same thing. Everybody was really nice. They're like, I haven't seen you around before. This is who I am. Like, you should come check out this thing. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. I love stand-up. Everybody's so nice. This is so fun. I'm going to move to New York.
Dun, dun, dun,
and then
dun.
It was like, brick wall. Like, bitch, no one cares about you. One time, one of the first mics that I went to, it was so awful. And like every time I would go to a mic in New York, it would take me like weeks to recover emotionally. And like one time I was at a mic and I sat up front, which was my first mistake, but I was like trying to be nice and supportive. And this guy was, you know, doing his jokes and they were whatever. And after one of his jokes bombed, he was like, you know what? And he's like pointing everybody in the front. He's like, fuck you. Fuck you.
Oh, wow.
You're kind of hot, but fuck you anyway.
He's
fuck
that
you,
to you.
Fuck you. Yeah. Of course. I was like the only girl there. And then he goes, I'm doing the rest of my set for the back of the room. And then he took the mic and he walked to behind from where we were sitting and did the rest of his set. And what kills me is I have no idea who this guy is. And I probably know him now. You know what I mean?
But you don't remember.
I have no idea what his name was, what he looked like. Couldn't pick him out of a lineup. And anyway, and then like, and that was like so, and I hadn't even gone up yet. And so then I went up with like jokes about Kim Kardashian and Taylor Swift that like nobody cared about at all. And I was just like, okay, great. I'm never going to do this again. And I will never go there again.
I just don't understand the concept of, okay, I'm not like tooting my own horn, but I have a new mic that I just started. And it, from when I did mics, it was very supportive. Everybody laughed. Everybody came. It was almost like a show. It was never this stressful, I'm not going to laugh, or she's not funny, or he's not funny, or, you know, like this mean-spirited click.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't understand that now, and I'm just so thankful that I'm able to create an environment where people want to grow and people want to share and people want to support each other. So I just don't understand that concept. When I read about it or hear about it, I'm like, what the hell's going on over there?
Well, I wonder actually if that is sort of like a patriarchal aspect of comedy. Like, and I don't like to assign traits to different genders,
labels, right.
But I do think there is masculinity and femininity, and those can be attached to whatever you want. But I think that, you know, we talk about toxic masculinity, and a lot of that is competition, like lack of warmth. And I wonder if that's like with projects like Cinderblock, if we're going to move into more of an age in comedy where it's more supportive. Maybe that's just me being like hippy dippy, wishing that was the truth.
Well,
I don't know. I feel like it's a double-edged sword, though, because I do feel like there is such a thing as being too supportive and too nice, because part of how you learn about how to be funny or how not to be funny is by learning what doesn't work.
Right.
And it's more detrimental, I think, to like let somebody think that what they're doing is funny when it's not, just to be nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
But there's like a way to do that without like maybe making the person want to die, you know? Like, there's like a balance that we need to find.
I have people who regularly give me constructive criticism, and it's the best, and it helps mm-hmm. me, but it's given in a way where it's like, I want you to be able to get better, so here's what I think.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, why don't we play your joke?
Sure.
By Allison Clem, some of her comedy. Let's see if I can get this audio work.
I had to go get a Brazilian wax the other day because of the patriarchy. I'm just kidding, it's because of humidity. Definitely humidity. It's like a terrarium down there. But I had a different lady, and without a conversation, she just slaps hot wax down on my genitals, which feels like a consent issue, I have to say. And now I had to fight for these last remaining hairs, right? It's like, no, I need those for very important age verification purposes! And I'm left with what I can only describe as a Hitler mustache on my vagina, which did prompt a very uncomfortable conversation with my Jewish lover. But you know what? It's my cunt, and I'll do what I want with it. And as it turns out, I put the SS in pussy, so I'll be good. 5 out of 5 stars of David. It's cool. It's cool. You guys can chill out. I'm kidding. My vagina is nothing like Hitler, okay? My vagina has only killed 6 million potential Jews. So that's where we're at. Cool. Most of you guys get that it's an ejaculation joke and not an abortion joke.
I am so into that. I love Jew jokes. I am a Brooklyn Jew.
That's so funny to hear that, because that recording was like from a while ago, and partially just like how that joke has evolved since I recorded that, and like also like my Jewish lover is now my Jewish boyfriend.
Oh wow!
So that's just like really weird for me to hear that.
Well, at least he liked it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I actually want to hear a little bit about your shows. You do the Naked Show, right?
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Tell us about that.
It is a stand-up comedy show where everybody performs naked. Pretty pretty cut and dry.
Do people speak on the theme of nudity, or do people ignore it? Or
some people do talk about it. Some people just do their regular set. It just depends on the person. I try to check with the comics and see like if they're going to talk about nudity. And they put them up front, because the weird thing about it is that like a few comics into the show, everybody gets a little desensitized to the nudity, and it's almost like you don't even notice it anymore.
Oh.
Which is kind of fun. I remember the first time when I did the Naked Show, at the end of the show, we were all putting our clothes back on, and we were like, it feels so weird to be wearing clothes now. You
wow.
know?
Yeah, I hate clothes, honestly. Yeah.
So what made you come up with the concept? That's what I want to know.
I didn't. I inherited the show. Okay. There's a really wonderful comic named Andy O'Fish from Boston who's been running a naked show up there for about 10 years. And they used to have one here at the Pit for a while. And then that ended for reasons I don't know. And then a few years ago, Caitlin Bailey started doing it here again. And then she turned it over to me.
Oh, okay.
She's also on the festival.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Caitlin Bailey.
Another Cinderblock performer.
Yeah. But the Naked Show is going to be Friday the 16th, 11:45 to 12:45 at the Experimental Comedy Gallery. That's 272 Grand Street, the basement level.
Yes.
Come get naked in the basement.
So, Joanna, you have another show too, right?
Yes. I have the Laugh Tracks Comedy Showcase, which is a show I've been producing for the past 15 years in New York City. I've produced at stand-up. I started at Stand-Up New York. Then I went to New York Comedy Club. Then I went to Broadway Comedy Club. And I produced at various clubs in the city. But I stayed at Broadway Comedy Club for the past 5 years prior to 2014. And the show is, it consisted of MTA workers, okay? MTA workers that were comedians. Or as I like to say, comedians that happen to work for the MTA. Hmm. Because to be an MTA, you have to be a comedian. And so I work in a token booth. And, for, you know, I was able to take my love for transit and negotiate it on the stage and talk about the consumers, talk about the passengers in a way that it wasn't painful or got me fired. So I found other comics that work for transit as well, and Laugh Tracks was born. And so this, during the festival, I decided to label it Laugh Tracks, the MTA storytelling show. And I asked each comedian to perform a set based on their love-hate relationship with MTA or any anecdote about the MTA that they find to be funny and, share-worthy. Because, you know, transit, it's like, it's a relationship. We all have a relationship with the MTA.
An abusive relationship.
Yeah, a lot of people say it's abusive. Me, as a employee, I am a therapist. I consider myself a therapist because I work on the L line, and, you know, everybody's losing their goddamn mind because the L line is allegedly going to close. But it's not going to close from Brooklyn only... You know, it's gonna...
just Brooklyn to Manhattan, right? So in Brooklyn, right, you're still fine.
Yeah. So, you know, that little hop over to the tunnel, come on.
Actually, that's great, though, because I feel like most of the people I know in Brooklyn never want to leave Brooklyn.
That's
and
true.
So now they never have to.
Because yes. they've taken
because
it over.
They can't.
Yes, they have. They have. They have taken over. Now, I have 25 years in MTA. At Wilson Avenue, I remember where it was dangerous to come out that station. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, oh... Bushwick Avenue, forget it. You rarely saw white people, mm-hmm. you know? And now I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And that's when I found out the new word, gentrification. Listen.
When did you first start noticing that?
Probably about 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, 5 years ago. Yeah, because I was at Bushwick Avenue station 5 years ago. And I chose it because I was like, oh, it's quiet. There's no people. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, where are these people going? And, yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
I used to hook up with a guy who lived off Morgan, and I lived in Harlem at the time, and I referred to it as a long-distance relationship. but it was great because if I was in Brooklyn doing comedy stuff, I didn't want to go all the way back to Harlem and be like, yo, what up?
The convenience of it all. Mm-hmm,
oh, mm-hmm. Man, I had German Tinder buddy, 34th Street, father's, like, famous author or something, and I would get off of work. I work as a coat check girl for a strip club. I work as a coat check girl.
Oh, nice.
Not really. I work in the club. sorry, Dad. The highest paid acting gig I can get right now.
Awesome.
But I used to go to Tinder Boy's house right afterwards. Up in Staten. I don't know. I just think German Tinder Boy is a funny word.
It is.
Funny term. But anyway, you were in the middle of a story there, right? Oh. You were just talking about Morgan.
Yeah. Morgan, yeah. At the time, I was like, oh, my God, like, I can't believe that you live out here. Like, I could never live this far out. Like, the commute is crazy and all this stuff. And then I moved to Bushwick, Aberdeen. And I was like, I can't believe I used to think Morgan was far away. Like, it's amazing how things change. And now,
yeah,
I'm out here at DeKalb.
Yeah, is I love it because of the desolation. But, you know, I work the night shift. I prefer the night shift because you see a lot more. And that was the first time I saw a penis, you know. The guy, there's a guy that used to come to Bushwick, Aberdeen, and he liked to flash me. And
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, intentionally?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I was like,
so what do you do in that situation?
When you train, when I was in class 25 years ago, they tell you never show fear because, you know, they like to see you freed and make it off. So.
Are you, like, in the booth?
Yes, I'm in the booth. So my thing is I used to say stuff, you know. I was like, hey, you with your dick out.
In case there's any confusion.
Yes. Move a little closer so I can see you better. You know, so it's like
I can't see your dick from
right
over here.
And so I say that so that they'll be like on notice. And then one guy, he actually moved a little closer. Like the next day, he's like, hey, miss, remember me? And I was like, shit, I thought this was supposed to work. Like, you know, you're supposed to stay away. But, yeah.
He was like, yeah, it's working. She wants me to come closer.
Yeah, he was huge, though. It was like, he had a huge dick, so.
You gotta go see that laugh track show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that story's on. Yeah, he has a, yeah. That's gonna be at.
It was huge.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah, it was huge.
It was huge.
He was 23. Huge. His name was Tyrone. I was like, what are you doing this for, Tyrone?
Of course it was Tyrone.
Yes, Tyrone. I said,
be more of a stereotype, Tyrone. Come on.
He had a huge stick. He said that I was cute. So I was like, okay, go ahead, Tyrone. You could continue.
Would he jerk off or you just showed
it to you? Yeah, no, he jerked off. Finished to completion.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Where did he finish?
Yeah, huh?
Where did he finish? Just on the booth?
Well, he wanted to. I said no because other people have to put their money in there. So I said, no, you can't do that. Just do it over there.
Yeah. And you didn't report him or anything?
No, that's like I thought. You know what? In my head, because I just got saved. So this was 96. I just got saved. I got baptized. And I wanted my boyfriend at the time to do that for me. I wanted him to perform, you know, masturbate. I wanted to see what it looked like to watch somebody I loved pleasure themselves.
Yeah, so that is hot.
So, right. So this guy here is a stranger and he's doing it for me willingly. And the guy I'm dating, so I broke up the guy. I broke up with him.
Did you go looking for Tyrone?
He was, no, I wasn't. But I just,
celibate because you're waiting for Tyrone to come back?
That's funny. That's a good callback. I realized that what he was doing was art. I just saw it as art. Like, he was really expressing himself. So I just saw it as art. People said I was weird, but I didn't care.
You know what else is great about that? Like, what if you allowing him to do that, like, gave him the, pun intended, release that he needed to keep him from, like, attacking another woman? You know what I mean?
I thought of that, too.
Because so much of stuff comes from, like, dudes, like, pent-up repression and all that shit.
Is that it?
Well, also, too.
Or is it just, like, taught entitlement?
I think it depends.
I don't know. I guess I just like I was on the fucking Chinatown bus last night.
Ooh.
With this like Orthodox Jewish man.
And there is no entitlement on the Chinatown bus.
Yes, there is.
Everybody is a chicken.
sure, whatever you want to say. But I will. I mean, I don't feel bad saying this about my own people. Orthodox Jewish men,
the worst,
are the most entitled, brattiest. I get what I want when I want it. I'm more like literally there is a prayer that says, "Thank God I was not born a woman."
Wow.
Yeah. So I guess I just feel like a lot of men are trained to think that women work for them, and they can be pent up, whatever. And I do think that there's a necessity for sex work, and I think it needs to be run completely differently. What?
I said I did sex work then.
Me too.
Yeah, you were, in well, that I, moment, I you, were a sex, you were a sex therapist in yes. that moment.
I do think that prostitution should be legal, but I think it should be treated like almost like a therapist.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, with high amount of respect. I think that the way that sex workers are treated is insanely dehumanizing.
It is.
Because if we really want to heal the sexual repression that affects everybody, it affects men too.
Yes, it does.
If we're going to do that, we need to... The people who are going to use their bodies to heal people in that way should be respected.
Especially because, you know, they do it in Europe and their society, well, spare for the whole Euro situation with the Brexit, but spare for that, you know, their society hasn't crumbled.
Right.
And they managed to do it with sex work.
Although, speaking of which, one of the men that I occasionally lap dance for is a German man, and he is actually one of the smarter guys who comes in there. Occasionally, I think the guys who come in are decent people. And he was telling me that he thinks that Germany has more problems with race than we do.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah, I think that the European countries that we look to for these, like, socialist ideas, and, you know, I was super pro-Bernie Sanders, but if you look at all these, their socialist stuff, it's like, oh, well, most of them are white.
They're homogenous countries, yes. So it's difficult. You can't, you know, you can pull some things from them, but you can't try to model everything after them because they also have a much smaller populations, they're much more homogenous. No other country has the melting pot like we do. So you have to be considerate of the fact that we have a lot of different people coming from lots of different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
True.
But people don't want to look at it that way.
No.
Not at all. Not at all. But this comedy arena is with the cinder block. We're trying to alleviate that symptom by being diverse.
That also, on the Naked Show, we have no straight white men. No, actually, let me clarify. No white men.
Really?
On this particular, we had one and I got rid of them.
Oh, then that's the important thing we didn't even get to yet. We've been so talking about everything. We talk about how Cinderblock, one of the big things Cinderblock did is charge seventy-seven cents
on the dollar discount for basically anybody that's not a straight white man. So people of color, LGBT, handicapped people. What am I leaving out?
Everybody.
Women.
Everybody who's not a cis white dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this pissed a lot of people off.
Not that we hate white guys, right, no. But, you know.
Nobody's, I mean,
some people have said that.
Some people think we really hate white guys. I mean, I don't, listen, I fuck white guys in the regular.
Yeah, you know, like I live with a straight white man.
I've never fucked a white guy. Never, ever. I thought about it.
Would you ever?
Yeah, if he was hot.
There you go.
If he was hot. I saw one. Like, there's one. Like, I see them all the time. I'm at Williston, so I see a lot of hot guys coming through.
Oh, yeah, but then they see me. Hats and whatever.
Yeah, the beards. They got the beards, you know. They got the with the plaid shirts, you know. I'm like, oh, that's kind of hot, you know.
Look at you with lumberjack riding the subway.
Yes. I was like, oh, he's cute, but, you know. Some of them are friendly, but overall, would they even consider a sister, you know what I mean, looking at?
Yeah. Well, you know,
some of them like to pat themselves on the back for doing so.
I mean, the thing about straight white men is that, like all groups of people, that you can't constrain them to one ideology, you know? They're all, like everybody else, some of them are cool as fuck, and some of them are total douchebags.
Yeah.
A significant portion of the ones getting off that subway are what I'd like to call Wikipedia Buddhists.
I like that.
You know what I mean? Like these guys who take from other cultures. And like, I don't think there's anything wrong with like white people being Buddhist, but I think it's really weird. That's cool. I don't think it's as weird, but I think it's weird when people like just pick like little trendy symbols and then want to act all superior about it.
That's true. I see that.
Like, that's true. I'm definitely like, I think that there's a lot of things about Buddhism that I definitely can get on the level with. And I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. I'm going to think about that. Mm-hmm. But like, if someone studied Buddhism for 20 years and wants to tell me about Buddhism, I'm not going to be like, bah, 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 bah. I read on Wikipedia that this Sanskrit thing. Oh, actually, well, you know, Hinduism. Oh, wait, I forgot that there's a difference.
Well, what's also, like, I mean, the thing about Buddhism, too, is that there are a lot of different kinds of Buddhism, just like with Christianity. Mm-hmm. So some people might be talking about totally different things.
Right.
You know.
I just think we all just, in life, just be happy, be kind, and be love. If you could be those things, you'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. Just you want to talk to me about Buddhist compassion and then act like an asshole.
In being that I'm in the booth and I work for the MTA, there's a lot of entitlement that I see, you know, because transit had, you know, they put that enunciator with the time when the fucking train comes. So why are you bothering me? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you? It says 5 fucking minutes. It says it's coming in 5 minutes. Why
and, like,
you?
There's nothing you can do to make the train come faster. You're like, hold on, let me push my secret button and let the conductor know to get on over here.
And then
he's waiting in the tunnel.
Yeah, so what are you here for? And I'm like, well, I'm here to answer your question, douchebag. That's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like,
and, you know, to call the authorities if there's an emergency.
Yeah.
And, like, to help you buy a MetroCard if you need help with that. Or, like,
yeah.
If our machine is goddamn broken.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll say no change, but, you know, people don't read up there because...
Speaking of which, we are getting a caller. If you guys want to hear that, if you want to see if he can talk, I wonder who this is going to be. Let's see this.
Hey, so I've been doing comedy for about a year now, and I just want to say that. But I think what you girls are doing with this festival, I think that it's, I think it's a load of crap. That's what I think it is.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Who is that?
I don't know. I think you just
I will never book her.
I mean, I think this is a guy.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know who this is.
And I've been doing comedy for a year now.
Oh, a year.
Oh, a whole year. Well, good for you. You know, keep doing it.
I don't really understand what the hell you like.
And I will not be censored by a bunch of lady comics. I will not be ignored. All you girls want to do is censor us.
Oh, that's what it's about.
Yeah, no one's trying to censor you, dude. Just, you know, maybe just keep working on being funny. That's all that really matters in comedy.
Yeah, being funny.
You're ruining the face of comedy. That's what you're doing. You're ruining the face of comedy, and you're doing this wage gap thing, and you're citing equality, but you know what? It's not feminism. It's not equality. It's feminism. It's female supremacy.
Ooh.
I don't know anything about that one.
I think we're making the face of comedy prettier.
Yes, that's true.
Personally.
I got new lashes.
You got a problem with me? You got a problem with what I'm saying? Go write a think piece about it, you feminazi.
Listen,
what's his number?
Really don't like. I really don't like the term feminazi.
Yeah,
my family is German. That's our N word.
I don't like the term feminazi either. I like that. I like that feminist. Though.
Yeah, feminist.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
I like foam
like
parties.
Like F-A-U-X.
Yeah, you're a feminist.
Like faux fur.
Oh, I think that's so ridiculous.
That's yes. a good that's a good line though. I like that.
Yeah. Well, you
I
know,
think that guy has a future in comedy yet, let me tell you.
Yeah, he might be on one of those late shows.
I mean, get him in at the Cellar.
He's been doing it for a year.
He's been doing it for a whole year, so I mean, like, he knows what's up. Yeah.
That's PhD worthy.
Yeah, well, that's what they do. They come. They get on stage for the first time. They might get a laugh, and they think they're authority. And it's not that I have an issue with any. The new word is cis white male. I don't have a problem with any person that performs. Just be honest about your craft, and be kind to others. You know, and it's weird to hear all the back and forth about men that are creeps or men that talk about rape, and you know, just that's not funny. I don't know. I just never found talking or joking about rape funny.
Unless it's Amy Schumer. She does that pretty well. You know what it is? It really comes down to it for me. It's like if you're going to punch down on that, like mm-hmm. I don't like that. If you're going to punch up,
okay.
Like if you're going to make fun of Brock Turner and rip him
exactly.
to shreds, like
okay.
I'm down.
And that's what I'm so down for
okay.
is that like, especially, I mean, men can do it too because men are also victims of sexual violence for sure. But
and
like,
we forget that a lot.
We do forget that a lot. And it's a lot harder for,
right.
I mean, as hard as it is for women to come out about their sexual abuse, like
yes.
it's so much harder for men because as stigmatized as it is for us, it's like 10 times worse for them because
true.
That's like all you have is your manliness,
yes.
right? But yeah, I feel like there's a lot of power in the punching up and like kind of taking the power back and like making jokes about rape where the butt of the joke is the rapist
okay.
and not the raped. And I feel like if... It's really the onus is really mostly on women to be able to do that, and I feel like if we can do that, we can really flip the script and change the conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
I haven't seen it yet. I didn't see the one Amy did. I didn't hear it. I don't know.
Well, she didn't. It was like a sketch she did. Oh. Where I mean, it was mm-hmm. was like ridiculous, and it
oh.
wasn't really like punching anywhere.
Okay.
It was a sketch where like. This coach was like moving and making fun of those old sports movies.
Ooh.
And he was moving in and he's like teaching the sports teams to not rape. And they're like, what do you mean I can't rape?
Oh, wow.
And they were like, not even if she's in a sexy Halloween costume. He goes, nah, no raping. No raping.
Oh.
No raping. And that was like the whole sketch,
yeah, okay.
was pretty much. It was just like them going over like how many ways what rape is and like what. How you can't rape. And Amy Schumer just keeps showing up with like a bigger glasses of wine as this like the coach's wife. She keeps going, it's good to be the coach. I don't really
oh,
understand.
Wow.
It was really it's really weird, but I was like I was okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. So we have about 15 minutes left. So I wanna talk a little bit why you think that Cinder Block was attractive to you. Like, was it the all-woman thing, or what made you want to join up and, like, help out with Cinder Block specifically?
For me, it was the diversification, because I've submitted to a lot of festivals, and I didn't get in,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't get no reason why, and I'm like, I know I'm pretty funny. What was the reason I wasn't? So I figured, let me join a festival, let me be a part of a festival to understand what it entails so that I know if I get a rejection or I'm not accepted, oh, okay, now I see what the process is. Before, I didn't know. So now I know, and I'm like, I'm okay with it. And it was a great process to see so many talented people submit. People believed in what we were doing as far as the wage gap pricing and putting the people of color, the LGBT women, on the forefront. And we got a lot of flack for it, but it was all positive news to me.
Mm-hmm.
Putting
absolutely.
Us on the map.
I mean, I love Corey, and so she had this idea to start this festival, and I was like, yeah, I'll help you, like, with whatever. And I've been involved in festivals that were basically scams, and I've been involved in festivals that were great experiences, and I really wanted to help foster more great experiences, especially for visiting comics, because
mm-hmm.
I've been in festivals in New York that were bullshit, and I've seen comics who like flew here from other places to be a part of this, and I just felt for them so hard because I was like, that must be awful. You know, you spent all this money on a plane ticket, probably got a hotel room, like, you know, all this money on food and stuff while you're here, and like it turns out that this thing you came out here is like, oh, look, you got to do 2 4-minute sets and now you're done, you know? And so it was really important to me to be able to like create like a better experience for comics, and especially comics who like don't get seen as much,
that's,
you know,
true. That's true.
Like from all these groups where you just, you know, if you're the gay person on the show, then you're like the token gay person, you're the token black person, you're the token woman. And I feel like this festival is a great way for all those tokens to come together and create something together and become the norm. As opposed to the token, and especially to like bring each other together so we can all like foster relationships with each other, which is the best part about festivals, is like meeting people from other places. And then it's like, oh, cool, now I know somebody in LA. So, like, when I go out to LA, I can hit them up, you know what I mean? And it's all like the networking aspect is so great. So, yeah, and I think I'm really excited. I think it's gonna be a really fun experience.
Yeah, and the fact that it's in Brooklyn, Williamsburg. Brooklyn is kind of cool. The L line. Actually, we're doing it's a pub crawl.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you can
go everything is walkable.
Walking distance. And the app that we have is hot. We have maps. We have everything that could possibly make this a greater success.
Yeah, I mean, what other no other comedy festival I've ever seen has its own app. And not only that, like our app, you can put in all the shows you want to go to and it'll like lay it out for you, like create your festival schedule,
and
which I have only seen done with like Bonnaroo.
Okay.
Oh, whoa. Like, so that's some new shit.
It's like pretty cool.
You can find out all about this at cinderblockcomedyfestival.com.
Amen.
And I also want to say you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You're listening to What Would Save the World. I'm Tuke Edelo. And I also want to say, Joanna, we were going to play some of your comedy.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. I want you to explain what. Yeah, I want you to explain what this is a little bit, though. The Spanx thing.
Ah, well, earlier this year, Sean Hollenbach, who's a friend of mine, like I said, I've been doing comedy over 20 years, and he is someone that I did open mics with, very supportive environment, and I have a good reputation in the business. So he hit me up, and he had this idea of us performing positive, feminine, womanly stuff. You submit the jokes that you're going to say. First you go on audition, then you submit the jokes you're going to talk about, and then you get to perform them in front of a green screen. And they choose and select, I guess. They chose the one that you're going to play. I did like 5 bits, and that piece that you're showing is part of a larger set.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're talking about the Spanx.
Yes, the Spanx.
Let's play this. It's going to load. I'm so bad. This is the most tech low show.
This thing called Spanx, oh my God, it does amazing things to your body. It changes everything. Put all of this in. Let me tell you something. I used to be white. And I am so proud of that because I had no idea I was going to say I used to be white. Like, when you in the moment, you don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so it was embarrassing because I just can't believe I said I used to be white in front of all these white people. You know? But I saw it later, and I was like, I did say that it changes everything about you. So when I look at it, it was supposed to be that way because I said it changes everything about you. So I love Spanx. Like, I wear Spanx all the time. Like, I always wish they had something for my neck because I got a very large neck. And so Spanx is a good tool for women. And Lifetime, this is a project for Sean Hollenbach that right now it's on social media. It's on Twitter and Facebook. The next phase is going to be YouTube and I believe Lifetime channel itself. So it's going to be commercials. Carolyn Castiglia.
Oh, yeah.
She has an episode. I think Mae Wilkerson, a couple other ladies that are in the festival are part of it. I think Carolyn, Mae, and someone else. So we're all in this project that hopefully gets picked up and be seen on Lifetime.
That's awesome.
That's super killer.
Yeah, we got paid for it, so it's kind of cool.
Hell yeah.
That was like my first or my second television, maybe my fourth, whatever, but it was fun. I like that it's Lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Fempire Moments.
Fempire Moments.
Yes,
I'm super into that.
Yeah,
I love that.
Fempire. So yeah, it was kind of cool.
So we actually only have a few more minutes left on the show, so I want to get some closing statements from you all. Do you want to give your Twitters or anything like that?
Oh, okay. Well, I can be reached at Twitter at Laughrodisiac. That's Laughrodisiac, whatever the hell that is. It's too many letters. One Funny Sister on Instagram and Facebook, Joanna Briley. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming, for Joanna Briley.
You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Allison Klemp, AlisonKlemp. Klemp like verklempt.
Verklempt. And we have a few more minutes. We didn't have to close it up that fast.
Okay.
If you have more you want to say or anything.
Well, you know, the festival itself, Cinder Block Comedy Festival, if you go to the website, you'll hear where the idea came from with Corey Spencer. I met her over the summer as we went looking for some of the spots, and I really admire her. And I was like, oh, I think I want to do a festival. I changed my mind. I was like, no, I don't want to do a festival. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. So you need a collective team. You need everybody on board, everybody playing their role. It's a lot of different parts in to make it happen. So I'm happy to do what I do.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Yeah.
I look forward to it. I mean, people, you know, we are on the cusp of something great. And I can't wait to see what next week brings.
Yeah, don't go to the Eugene Merman Festival. Come to ours instead.
Like,
we don't have any rapists in our festival.
Oh, is that a thing?
Blind item.
Is there somebody on that festival that... oh, sorry.
Allegedly.
Maybe I'm not as in the loop.
Allegedly.
I mean, I've heard all these things. I don't know.
I shouldn't get into it now.
We got a few minutes left.
I mean, I guess I've heard a lot of things going on lately.
Eugene Merman hates women. And people of color. No, I'm just kidding. He's a very nice person and very funny.
Oh, my God. Oh, I was like,
everybody, return your tickets. Cancel
She's
your
controversy. That controversy.
Queen
right?
of controversy.
Queen
yeah,
of controversy.
Right.
Oh, I got to advertise for another show real quick. Because, again, you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is What Would Save the World. I'm Tuke Edelo. I'm here every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. You can find me on Facebook.com/What Would Save the World. Please email me or message me. You can hate what I have to say, and I will read it on the air, and I will argue with you. If you have anything you want to talk to me about politically, I want you on here, even if you are a dirty libertarian. I want to talk to you about it.
Get in here, Gary Johnson.
Yeah, get in here, Gary Johnson. Here, tell me about how you don't believe in public funding, but you want the police to protect your private property. Please come in here and let's talk about that. But what I want to read to you right now is there's going to be a Radio Free Brooklyn fundraiser rock concert on September 10th at 8 p.m. That's this Saturday, Back to Cool fundraiser rock concert featuring the bands Dead Leaf Echo, Falling Birds, Drew Cutler, and the Heart and Hand Band, and Amos Rose. It'll be at the Unit J Loft, 338 Moffett Street, Bushwick. Take the L to Wilson Avenue. You must be 18 years or older. Might be 18 or older to attend. And, of course, 21 to drink. Tickets are $8 in advance, 10 at the door, radioforbrooklyn.com/fundraiser. I will be hosting that in weird face paint. I am Tuke Edelo. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much, Allison Klemm. Thank you so much, Joanna Briley.
Thank you.
This is Ellen and the Degenerates. You can catch them at the Cinderblock Comedy Festival at the Kickout Jams show. That is going to be Sunday the 17th from 10:30 p.m. to the next day, 12:30 a.m. Or, you know, going into the next day. And this is their song... Netflix and Kill.
Yeah.
Netflix and
wow.
Kill. See you in a bit. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
I'm not afraid to
All right, that was Ellen and the Degenerates. Please go see the Cinderblock Comedy Festival. That is going to be September 15th to September 18th. This is Thursday through a Sunday. Thank you for listening to What Would Save the World. I think that you should email me at the number 2, the symbol KEDALOW @gmail.com, and you should tell me what you think would save the world, and I will talk about it on here. I'm really excited to do that. I was just talking about libertarians and their public property, private property nonsense. Anyway, it's, we have a minute left. And up next is going to be Brooklyn Bandstand, where you can hear all of the different songs and music of bands in Brooklyn and Connecticut and New York. And that is going to be on Wednesday from 3 to 4. This is pre-recorded. It also plays Thursdays from 9 to 10 a.m., which is the repeat where there is no Brooklyn Bandstand after. So if you're listening to the repeat, there is no Brooklyn Bandstand. My name is Tuke Edelow, and I am stalling. My name is Tuke Edelow, and I believe that Edith Piaf is a reptilian shapeshifter. My name is Tuke Edelow, and I believe that Marlon Brando was a reptilian shapeshifter. I believe that Che Guevara was just a capitalist conspiracy to sell t-shirts. It was really Daniel Day-Lewis wearing a hat. Thank you all for listening. I hope that you go and Google Daniel Day-Lewis and figure out what kind of reptilian shapeshifter he is. Yeah, and Google the Cinderblock Comedy Festival. I got way off topic. I got into what I usually do. We can talk about reptilians. There are no reptilians in the making of the Cinderblock Comedy Festival. Except for maybe me. Oh, no. That's so scary. We have 4 seconds. Thank you for listening.